Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, your place for just-in-time management advice on the web at wileymanager.com. All right, welcome to another Wiley Manager Podcast. And on today's podcast, Bob, we're going to talk about the invisible culture gap.
Yeah, that's pretty weird, eh?
Sounds like it's going to be an entertaining one, at least anyways.
Yeah, it's good fun. So I'm going to explain why I'm calling this the invisible culture gap, but it's really about cross-cultural differences, but between five countries that seemingly have a lot in common. So I'm talking about the United States, the UK, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand.
Excellent. Before we get into the meat of the topic today, we got some viewers that some new Facebook friends is probably the best way to put that, when they want to welcome to the Wiley Manager family.
Yeah.
So joining us on Facebook in the last little while, and forgive me if I mispronounce your names, please. Abdullah Albar, Andreas Yay. Silva McManus.
Cue the applause.
Mike Geeb?
Sure.
Is that how you do that one?
Yeah.
Heather West and Burton Brown Sr. So those folks joined the Wiley Manager Facebook page. We encourage you to go do the same thing. You can interact with us there, ask us questions, suggest future podcast topics, etc. So go check it out, Wiley Manager on Facebook. All right, why don't you walk folks through a bit of the agenda in terms of today's topic?
Okay, well, we'll talk about why this is important and why I picked these five countries because there's lots of stuff out there about cross-cultural issues that doesn't involve these five countries. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about comparing those five countries on five different dimensions or axes, and then we'll leave people with three things to remember.
All right, so let's start with why you chose these countries and why maybe this topic might be important.
Okay, well, let me start with the last one first. It's important because really it's about raising awareness, right?
Okay.
So if you find yourself working with people from other countries and you're a little bit more sensitive to some of the differences as a result of people being from other countries, you're much more likely to move through conflict and other sort of misunderstandings much more quickly, right? So there's been lots written about this, again, in terms of doing business in Asia with China or Japan or India or South America with Brazil or Russia or other parts of Eastern Europe, that business and culture are very different over there. And so, it's contingent upon us if we're doing business in those places to be able to make the leaps and the things that are different.
Right.
So what I'm arguing is that if I talk about these five countries that I mentioned earlier, a lot of people say, well, what's the difference between Canada and the United States? Well, actually, they're vastly different countries, right? And so having some understanding of that, if you find yourself either doing business across borders, or even if you're working at the home office in Bloomington, Illinois, right? And you're not doing any business internationally, you still may have a Canadian or an English person or a Scottish guy or an Aussie or a Kiwi working with you or for you at some point or other. So it's more than just about working across borders that makes these skills useful.
All right, cool. So let's maybe explain a bit about more about these particular countries that we're going to chat about today then.
Sure. And the one other thing I mentioned too is that I picked these countries because well over 50% of our audience comes from these places, right? So the bulk of our audience is in the United States and the UK. Second would be Australia and Canada. And I threw New Zealand in there. Not that many people live in New Zealand, right? There's only 4 or 5 million of them.
Yeah.
But they punch above their weight in terms of, for us anyway, for our audience. We have a lot of people listening to us in New Zealand, and it just happens to be one of my favorite places on the planet.
So we're big with the Kiwis.
We're big with the Kiwis, yeah. And so we thought we'd and interestingly, I've worked in 4 out of 5 of the countries. New Zealand's the only country I haven't worked in.
But so, you have traveled there extensively.
I have. I've been to New Zealand a number of times. As I've said, it's one of my favorite places on the planet. So they get special consideration just for that.
All right, we'll give them that.
Okay.
Next up, so there's some caveats that you want to make sure that people are aware of as they listen to your thoughts on this topic.
Yeah. Okay. So you should never ever make broad sweeping generalizations about any group of people, but that's not going to stop me from doing it today. So I'm making observations. I'm not making evaluations, right? So, I'm going to talk about, there's 300 and some odd million people that live in the United States. I'm going to say Americans do this, right? And that's a horribly unfair thing to do. But for purposes of the illustration today, I'm going to make some of these. So I'm bound to upset some people. And by all means,
bring on the hate mail.
Write me your hate mail. We'll deal with it in another podcast.
All right. So in the context of these five countries, you have a few different topics that you want to go through in terms of highlighting what some of those differences are. So hopefully we can raise that level of awareness. And then you're able to use that information effectively while you're interacting with these folks in business. So the first one you wanted to talk about was how the different groups, nationalities might manage conflict differently.
Yeah. Okay. So, and this is actually pretty interesting, was because when people get together and they disagree, you bring a whole lot of cultural baggage, you know, and again, people are individual, but you bring a whole lot of cultural baggage to that as well. So this is based on my experience. If you're Canadian or you're a Kiwi, you're horrible at this, right? What you want to do is as conflict starts, you want to bury it top speed. Okay. You're a chronic avoider. Now, this doesn't go for every Canadian and every Kiwi, of course, but these are people that typically will avoid conflict if they can.
Right.
Conversely, on the other end of the scale is certainly when I work in the United States, I find that Americans are very good at bringing conflict to the surface, right? They deal with it. They get on with it. They go out for a beer after work. Everything's fine. But they don't shy away from conflict. Mm-hmm. They bring it to the surface and they try to work through it and resolve it, which is a much healthier thing to do than to bury it. And I found that, the British and the Australians are probably partway in between those two.
All right, cool. The other area you wanted to chat was the water cooler chat piece.
Yeah, and I thought I'd do something that nobody ever wants to talk about talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, I thought I'll say, so what are the, how are things like religion and politics handled at the water cooler?
Okay. Right?
So this should set some people off. This will be fun. So, I I'm grouping Canada and New Zealand together again in this one too. So Canada and New Zealand, this is not something you see a lot in a business setting. Okay, it's actually discouraged. It's generally viewed as being somewhat inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and again, at the other end of the scale, in the United States, I think not in every single organization, but I think it's more accepted there than it is in our other five comparison countries, if you like. So, I was asked when I was working in the Chicago area, for example. I worked in a few different offices there, but say, well, what church do you go to?
Right.
All right. So that's something that you wouldn't discuss in polite conversation in Canada or New Zealand.
Not unless you knew that person, you and I both being Canadians.
Yeah.
Not unless you had a long-term, close relationship with somebody, it might come up, but this is not certainly one of the first few things you bring up as to what church you might be going to.
Right. So rightly or wrongly, not saying it's good or bad. Nope. I'm just making it as an observation. I'm saying that that's a conversation that wouldn't happen in Canada or New Zealand.
So Australia, once again, did the U.S. win? They have more interesting water cooler chat than we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so in the U.K. and Australia, again, I'd put them probably somewhere in the middle on that one. So again, these are totally unfair, sweeping generalizations.
Which is why it's what makes them fun.
It's what makes it totally fun.
All right. The next one you wanted to touch base on is international awareness.
Yep. So this one I'll set the Canadians off. I would argue that Canada and the U.S., typically people do not have a clue what happens outside of North America. In very limited circumstances do Canadians or Americans know what's happening anywhere else in the world, right? Because it's a very inward-looking societies, both of them, right? So, and again, Canadians will take issue with this. And my challenge to Canadians would be is that, okay, who's the Prime Minister of Australia? It's Julia Gillard, by the way, but the reality is most Canadians wouldn't know that.
Right.
Right? But they'd be quite happy to accuse the Americans of not knowing who the Canadian Prime Minister is, and yet they don't really know any other world leaders, just by one example. Right?
Point taken. So, now, do you think the Australians or the Kiwis would know who the Prime Minister of Canada is?
I think they would to a higher degree. Okay. Right. Because again, Australia, and it's partly because of the remoteness of, Jed, I lived in Australia for a while, because Australia is so remote, as is New Zealand, it's sort of a rite of passage for a lot of people. They graduate from high school or maybe partway through university, and they take a gap year or two and they go out into the world.
Right.
Okay. Aussies and Kiwis do. And for those not following along, somebody from New Zealand is called a Kiwi. So for the Canadians and Americans in the bunch.
All right.
See, and so they go out into the world. And so I think, and again, it's partly being so remote, being so detached from the rest of the world, but they get out there. And so I think they do have a much higher awareness of what's going on in the world than Canadians or Americans do.
They do have a higher propensity to travel. That's, I would agree with that. And I can see how that might lead to obviously a better global understanding of what's going on outside your own country.
Yep. And those from the UK, from England and Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland, I would suggest that they, they're probably, again, somewhere in the middle. So, again, I think that they're sometimes reluctantly part of Europe, but nevertheless being part of Europe, they have a little bit greater awareness of what happens outside their own borders.
Okay. Next area of conversation, the tolerance for authority in government.
Yes. Yeah. So this comes up often in business when you think about it, right? So, you know, about, you know, authority and
regulation. I
put government in there. Yeah. Because we're constantly interfacing with government no matter where you are, right? And sure. Certainly if you're doing business across borders, you will have to interface with government. And so tolerance, I don't think anybody would doubt that Americans have the least a tolerance for authority and government. In fact, the country was born out of revolution, right?
So stay out of my business.
Yeah, it was rebelling from, you know, from the mother country, right? That sort of formed it as a nation, right? As opposed to Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, which were, you know, all children of a common mother, of course. But Canada, Australia, and New Zealand treated independence from England, yeah, right? As opposed to
the United States.
War.
The United States fought a war. We asked nicely.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I don't think that's a big. And interestingly, Australia's got a strong streak of that too. Right. I don't think to the same degree that the U.S. has, but I think Australia has a very strong independence streak. There's a lot of talk in Australia about not wanting to be part of the Commonwealth, or at least not wanting to be part of the monarchy. Mm. And you don't see those same sort of conversations in Canada or New Zealand. It's either people either think it's pretty good or they kind of don't care.
Indifferent. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, the U.K. I would put kind of in the middle.
All right, time off. Now this one can be interesting because we're all jealous of what in North America. We're jealous of what goes on elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And I put this one in because it's kind of interesting because my job at one point was working with a British company and an American company and trying to reconcile things like the way people take time off can be a huge conflict when you've got people working. We were on a joint venture, right? So trying to reconcile the fact that most people from the UK have 7 or 8 weeks holiday a year,
vacation. What do you mean you're taking a month off this summer?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, right?
Because
in the United States, I think the average vacation days are 10 or 11 a year.
And they don't use them all.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, right? It's 10 or 11
over.
A year. And Canada only has, I think Canada's around 15. Like Canada's not that much higher, right? Where the UK and New Zealand are you know, maybe 20, 25 or 30. And the Aussies, certainly when I worked in Australia, boy, oh boy, you not only get a lot of vacation time, you get a lot of sick days too, and you're kind of expected to take them.
Yeah.
Right. So it's and again, these are, again, the way that people perceive their time away from work is something you have to consider if you're working with people from that culture.
So the message in all these is not necessarily better, not necessarily worse, but the understanding of these things will help you get along in the workplace and perhaps even tap into some of the strengths that each of these kinds of backgrounds can bring to your organization or your team.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting too, because again, I said as working in a joint venture between a British and an American company, you'd think, well, how much, you know, other than that people talk funny to each other, how different could these cultures be? They're actually quite a bit different, and we learned a lot of lessons the hard way. So I'm just trying to encourage people to think about it sooner.
Yeah, and as I say that, it's kind of reminding me of some of the same conversations that we had in an earlier podcast where we did a few different podcasts on cross. Generational types of things. So
the
millennials, Gen X, boomers in the workplace and what kind of things they bring, you know, what kinds of, thinking, what kinds of experience do each of those kind of generational, buckets of folks bring into the workplace. So it's relating to that for me. And we did another podcast on team trust, which might be somehow related as well.
Yeah. No, and again, it's just trying to raise awareness around potential differences before they, you know,
become a problem.
In the rear end. Yeah.
All right, why don't we cap off this one then, Bob, with the three things.
One, two, three. One, two, three.
Okay, well, the first one of the three would be just because somebody may look and sound like you may not mean that they think like you, right? So they may have vastly different life experience, right? And again, this happens with Canadians and Americans all the time. These countries are very different, mm-hmm. okay? So they share a common border and they sound, to the untrained ear anyway, they sound very much alike. But, they have vastly different styles of government. They have different, vastly different social system. There's a whole bunch of things that separate these countries. So if you think about these things in advance, it might help you.
Number two.
Number two is there's nothing wrong with discussing these differences as long as you do it with sensitivity. So this isn't something you should not talk about because you're afraid, you know, that something, you know, you're going to offend somebody. Just put it up on the table and talk about it, but talk about it respectfully.
All right. And the last of the three things.
Well, and that's it's sort of been an undercurrent throughout the whole podcast is that you don't need to travel across borders to be able to use these skills, right? So people, you know, I'm thinking about Canada and the United States with NAFTA, which is about 15 or almost 20 years now, skilled labor moves back and forth between these countries very easily, right? And again, with the Commonwealth, so four to five of the countries I'm talking about are Commonwealth, right? Well, a lot of these Commonwealth countries, people move back and forth very easily too, mm-hmm. right? So it's not out of the question that you would run into one of these people without ever leaving your home office.
All right, very good. And I want to remind listeners as well that back at the Wiley Manager website for this podcast, as well as others, we produce a cheat sheet that accompanies each one. And so you can go and pull those off the website. We've also bundled around 40 of the most popular cheat sheets together in one little package for you. You can, again, pull it off of www.wileymanager.com. Is that too many W's? www.wileymanager.com for free. So go check those out, and we look forward to interacting with you. Thanks for your time today, Bob.
See you again.